Cube FM. We have the Community Bulletin Board for you. If I was to take calls, I would love to know what people think about that last public service announcement. We have a choice of a bleep or the words. Not my moment. Not my show. So, stay tuned for the Community Bulletin Board. WBAI, New York. It's 1 minute past three, and we will listen to the Community Bulletin Board next, and then Talkback follows.
A list of events from the WBAI Community Bulletin Board.
On Saturday, August 31st, from 1 to 6 p.m., come to Local 32BJ, located at 101 Avenue of the Americas, one block north of Canal Street in Manhattan, to help decorate the amnesty float for the West Indian Day Parade. On Monday, September 2nd, help gather signatures at the parade in Brooklyn to call for amnesty and legalization for all immigrants. You can check in at the Reward Work Table on the northwest corner of Utica Avenue and Eastern Parkway. If you'd like additional information, call 212-388-3698. That's 212-388-3698.
Westchester bass singer, songwriter, and music healer Sandy Kemmel will celebrate the release of her newest CD, Music in My Soul, with a benefit concert for the Phelps Hospice in Sleepy Hollow. The concert will take place on Saturday, September 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Irvington Town Hall Theater, 85 Main Street in Irvington, New York. A portion of the proceeds, as well as your donations of gently used CDs for the hospice's Music Healing Library, will be used to provide music for patients and their families. For reservations, call 914-591-6602. That's 914-591-6602.
Take a trip around the world in one day. The 17th International Cultures Parade, celebrating the miracle of unity and diversity, is happening on Sunday, September 8th at 2:30 p.m. on Madison Avenue between 42nd and 23rd Streets in Manhattan. This parade is sponsored by the International Immigrants Foundation and will include dancers, art, floats, music, and pageantry from Africa, the Middle East, Latin America, Europe, Asia, and the Caribbean. For more information, call 212-302-2222. That's 212-302-2222.
The Health and Wellness Ministry of the Congregational Church of South Hempstead is sponsoring a free homecoming festival and family day on Saturday, September 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. right after church, located at Woodland Drive and Long Beach Road in South Hempstead, Long Island. Activities will include games, poetry, nutritional information, health screenings, mini workshops, giveaways, music, dancers, and food. Everyone is welcome. For additional information, call 516-486-3626. That's 516-486-3626.
The New York Whale and Dolphin Action League is organizing a protest against the captivity, confinement, and exploitation of whales and dolphins, and against whaling and the Navy's use of low-frequency active sonar. This legal, permitted protest will take place on Friday, August 30th, from 3 to 8 p.m. in front of the New York Aquarium on Coney Island near the boardwalk entrance to the aquarium. For more information, call 914-793-9186. That's 914-793-9186.
This has been a list of events from the WBAI Community Bulletin Board.
Let us know what's going on in your community. Write to us at least 2 weeks in advance at WBAI, 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, New York, New York, 10005.
Or fax us at least 2 weeks in advance at 212-747-1698. That's 212-747-1698. I'm Evelyn Andino Rosa.
I'm Vajra Kilgour.
And I'm Victor Takeoff.
Have a great day.
Would I feel this way? what makes my head go round and round while my heart stands still if I didn't care? Would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
If I didn't care, honey child, more than words can say. If I didn't care, would I feel this way? Darling, if this isn't love, then why do I thrill so much? And what is it that makes my head go round and round while my heart just stands still so much?
If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
it was the night. Softer than satin was the light from her eyes. She wore blue velvet, and as the night danced slowly by, warmer than May, her tender sighs, love was ours. All the love we held tightly,
giving its rapturous flow,
like a flame burning brightly. Gone was the glow of blue velvet, and in my heart there'll always be precious and warm a memory through the years. Through my tears.
Yes.
I just want to say that I admire you as a terrorist gunner.
Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton returns to WBAI on September 10th for another exciting season.
Yeah, this is Bruce.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
Manhattan. Just call and say have a good vacation and glad that your son is here with you and you're having fun. But remember, the moon is full, so there's a lot of nuts out there today. You're still too conservative. I don't know what your politics are, but you're never rude, you're never angry, and you never have hate in your heart. Believe me, they should use some of your insight to reorganize if they're having problems up there at BAI.
Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton, Monday through Thursday, from 3 to 5 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. Stay tuned.
Just heard from the Skyliners. Hey, what happened there? From the Skyliners, since I don't have you at the top of the program, Paper Dolls. Paper Doll by the Mills Brothers. If I Didn't Care by the Ink Spots. A piece that was made famous once again by Red Fox, who always, at some point in his program, said, if I Didn't Care. Let's see, what else? Schoolboys, would Please Say You Want Me To. The Clovers, Blue Velvet. Then the Flamingos, I Only Have Eyes For You. The Doves, Could This Be Magic? And I guess at some point you recognize that a very old person was behind the microphone. I don't know what you're looking for, but today you got me. I had some things planned, but they kind of fell through, you know. Well, maybe I'll say it anyway. Since we got back here, a lot of the tapes that we once had, we cannot locate them. I'll leave it at that. But today was the anniversary of the
location of the body of Emmett Till back in 1955, and Amy and I had done an interview with Mamie Till, and I was going to play that for you, but cannot locate it, which brings me to some other things. We are still trying to get the interview set up between Gary Noe and the at least the chair of the board, Leslie Kagan, concerning some accusations that Gary Noe has been making at a variety of different venues, both here at WBAI as well as another radio station that he's working at. And I don't know if you've been listening to these accusations. It brings a lot of things to mind. One wonders, why is this being brought up now? Why, when everyone is trying their best to put all of that behind us? As you might recall, when folks came back and there was a lot of anger, then there were a lot of programs dedicated to talking about what had just happened since a normal period of adjustment has taken place. And you hear very few people talking about what took place over the previous 13 months prior to the reentry back into the station on January the 15th. And to bring that up now, one wonders, what purpose does it serve? Especially when one knows the truth about what took place, and most of the listeners, if you don't know all the details, you know what you feel. And chances are your feelings are correct, because we were characterized as a handful of dissidents, but a handful of dissidents couldn't have gotten people who had no contact with them to withdraw their funding for things they didn't like. Many of you made your own decisions. You made a decision, a determination that what you were hearing and what you had heard about was not something that you wanted to support. And without any real urging from the so-called dissidents, who did not have the microphone, who were not able to organize the listeners, and other than in community meetings and at other venues, you made a decision pretty much on your own that you were not going to support what was happening here. So I don't know what they're attempting to do, what Mr. Null is attempting to do in his presentations. I know that we need to move in another direction, but we also need to straighten out some of the errors that were made, and hopefully he'll be willing to sit down with some of those people that he has accused of doing all manner of things, and be willing to discuss with them about just what actually happened, because the facts are wrong. And although they purportedly have come from hours and hours of research, many of the things that have been reported as facts don't even make any sense. You know, they make no sense at all, and they need to be confronted. And as I said, hopefully he will be willing to do that. If not, we're going to deal with some of those misleading so-called facts anyway. Now, since I don't have the tape of the interview with Mamie Till, I don't know if any of you know what happened back in 1955, but a young man named Emmett Till was living in Chicago, went to visit his uncle in Money, Mississippi. And this is part of the story that was covered in Eyes on the Prize in a real dramatic way. They interviewed the uncle who was awakened that night when two white men came to the door and asked for Emmett Till, and then took him away, never to be seen alive again. And the crime that he committed was that he allegedly had whistled, a wolf whistle, to a white woman in a store. And he was beaten, shot, strangled, and then a weight was tied around his neck and he was thrown in the river. And although many people were killed in similar fashions back then, what made this case a little different is that Emmett Till's mother, Mamie Till, decided that she was not going to have the casket sealed, that she was going to leave the casket open, and that people would be able, she wanted people to see what they had done to her son. And a real, you can see the manner in which, not the manner, but the results of the beating that he took at the hands of these two individuals. And, you know, it was just a real tragedy, but one of many, many tragedies. But it was the courage of Mamie Till who decided that she wasn't going to just cover it over, that she was going to leave the casket open so that the whole world could see. And that created quite a bit of outrage and movement, as well as an awakening among a lot of people. There are these events that take place, these watershed events that take place in the history that awaken a lot of people. For I know that many people talk about the bombing in Birmingham of the three little girls that were killed and the others that were injured in Sunday school, while they were at Sunday school. And this, too, was an event that turned many people around and made them begin to recognize the country in which they were living, and that if they did not fight against it and try and make it a place that all people were treated as human beings, that they would might fall victim to the same fate. So there are these events. For me, it was the murder of Emmett Till, and the courage that his mother had in keeping the casket open so that everyone could see. I was wondering whether there are some events in your life which make you just reconsider everything, you know, just make you stop and say, well, wait a minute, what I thought this was all about is just not true. And therefore, I'm going to have to look at the world a bit differently as a result of an event. You can call us here at area code 212-209-2900. We can take a few of your phone calls at 212-209-2900. By the way, my name is Bernard White, sitting in this afternoon. As I said, there was something totally different planned, but the best laid plans of mice and men aft gang a play. You're listening to WBAI in New York, and you're on the air. Guess not. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
God bless you, Bernard White.
Well, thank you.
I mean, not only God bless you, God bless you all. And we have to forget about our differences and bring everybody back, even with peace, sleep. I mean, excuse me, we have to not be judgmental and ask her, you know, what really happened. But, you know, this is it. I feel we have to forget about our differences. My boyfriend is the president of, how do you call it, Project Release Against Psychiatric Abuse. We have to talk about the Madness Network again, because Hitler is alive and well and living in the White House. I know who's responsible for 911. So you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I call White House last week, and I even did a collect call, and I got in. And now if you try to call collect, it's blocked.
You made a collect call to the White House?
Yeah, and it got through. And then I called on my own money, and I said, that's a message. The only real president is God, and God spelled backwards is dog. I've been calling even when Clinton and when Bush was the president. You know, I went down to Washington. I'm 67 years young. The Gulf War twice.
Mm-hmm.
I was down here.
Okay.
So we have to ask everybody to come back, and it's not to be judged, but we need everybody. You know, I don't know how you feel about that because, you know, I love Letitia Lee, and she really looks like such a lovely, beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there that night and I saw her in her dress and I was speaking to a transvestite and I knew, and I said, if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. And I went over to her and I shook her hand and I said, I hope that something good can come from this. And what I was hoping that people would ask her to come back.
Mm.
And my name is Nancy, baby Nancy.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
God bless you all. It's WBAI. I love you all.
Okay, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. BAI, you're on the air. This phone's not working properly. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello, how you doing, Bernard?
Okay, how are you?
Have a blessed day.
Okay,
I think
you too.
The event that really changed the way I was thinking, even though I was a young man at the time, the murder of Martin Luther King, it showed that even though a person may be nonviolent, love this country, or there's certain people who just will not believe in equality and love for their fellow man, no matter if you try to embrace them, and it's just a hopeless situation, and power concedes nothing without demand. So I would like to see a point about that, and I hang up. Have a pleasant day.
What did you do once you... Okay, it's gone. Wondering what it is compelling to do. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, Bernard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I like to think of myself as an objective listener to WBAI.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that some of us still have questions about what happened.
Okay, ask me. I'll see if I can help you.
Well, it's not a question of just asking a question or two now. For instance, the allegations that some of the people who are on the board were, it even went so far as Michael Rupert saying CIA connected, and that there were big business corporate people who were trying to take over and sell the stations, and nobody seems to have proven that they were really trying to sell it, according to Nolan. I just think it's a good idea to clear the air completely, regardless of how it turns out. I want to know the truth.
Well, yeah, like I said, I do want to see if we can get Gary Nolan to sit down and he can present his evidence and people.
Well, he announced on the one of the other stations yesterday, or I think it was that. Or no, Monday, that he had a phone call from somebody who claims to have documentation. I think he's waiting for that. Did you know that? Did you hear that? Probably not.
No, I heard it, but, you know,
yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well, that's just it. We don't know.
Well, you know, Well, like I said, if you have any specific questions, there are some of us who do know for sure. And that you can check out the information that some of us can give you concerning this. You know, to say that these were supposedly big corporate people begins to place the discussion in a particular light. Nobody said that these were big corporate people. None of the people who were organizing to get the station back said that these were big corporate people. In fact, many of them were very small corporate people, but the key word was that they were corporate people with a particular mindset and not a not-for-profit mindset. Many of them had a profit mindset and were guided by the profit motive and were trying to create the conditions under which they could make a profit from this. They had no allegiance to this, no allegiance to listener-sponsored radio. What they wanted to do was to flip some of these radio stations over, make a profit for themselves, which is why they tried to enter an amendment, and we have a copy of the amendment that, and who it came from. Most of this has been up on the internet, and they would have benefited personally from the sale, as well as members of their families could also benefit from the sale. And what many of us contended is that once you do that, once you put that in the bylaws, that what you're doing is giving an incentive to sell. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, because you begin to...
But no actual sales negotiations were entered into, correct?
No actual sales negotiations were entered into. No, but the stage was being set for that. But okay. No one claimed that any actual sales discussions were being had been entered into.
Mm-hmm. But you felt that they would have been, ultimately, of course.
Why would you have changed the bylaws, made an attempt to change the bylaws so that you could benefit personally from the sale?
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what other information surfaces, and I just want the air to be cleared, and I think perhaps that's what is happening with Null. I don't know. I don't want to think either you or Amy or anybody or even him is interested in undermining WBAI. Everybody's doing is to try to save the station.
Yeah, but that's rather naive, isn't it? At some point
to suggest that someone's undermining, deliberately undermining, rather than trying to find out the truth, I think that's also a little bit far-fetched.
Why is that far-fetched?
Well, because Gary Null's been on the station for how many years and has always tried to support kept it going?
One of the problems that we have had, and I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I'm just talking about how we think about certain things. One of the problems that we have had is that when people are faced with evidence, I mean, and I also suggest that you do your own research and come to your own conclusions and not just listen to the people, not just listen to me, not just listen to Null or Amy or Leslie Kagan or anybody else, but do some of, if you're really interested, then you have to do some of your own research. But once you find the information, then you have to make a decision. You know, you can't say, well, even in the face of all of the information, I don't want that to be true, so therefore I'm going to ignore it.
Well, I haven't done that.
Well.
But I have listened, yeah. And I've been to a few meetings, and I thought it was resolved until this paper comes up and it states something else, and
he
has evidence to back it.
Well,
and I'd just like to know what the evidence is and have him given an opportunity to present it. That's all.
I bet you on a trip on the space shuttle that there is no information.
But why do you interrupt his programming when he's trying to present it and prevent him from putting it on the air?
You think that that's what really happened?
I'm not quite sure. I just know I was listening when you broke in and stopped his show and started presenting your point of view.
Okay, think about what
happened.
Think
about radio.
Think about what happened, though. All of the programs here, first of all, are supposed to get off the air at 55 minutes after the hour. In addition to that, there were 56 minutes in which a statement was made by a producer, or a series of statements was made by a producer attacking the character of many of the people who were here working, trying to save this radio station, trying to save this foundation. Much of what was said was just totally, totally, totally untrue. And I didn't want his listeners, or the people who tuned in at that time, because many people tune in on their lunch hours and have to get back to work. I didn't want them to have to be bombarded with many untruths, half-truths, and misleading juxtapositions of quotes and non-facts, that they would think that this was all true. So with 4 minutes left in the program, I came in to say that a lot of what was said was untrue. I pointed out some of the areas where it wasn't true, and I said that we were going to attempt to have a discussion with Gary Null, and he can bring all his facts, and some of the individuals that were directly involved in the campaign to get the foundation back in order. Now, one of the things that has not been discussed at all is what happened to $6 million that was spent within an 18-month period.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to all of that money? Where did it go? I mean, it would seem to me that that since the takeover at WBAI took place, and a couple of months before that, that massive amounts of money were spent between that time and the time that the station, the situation was resolved nationally. $6 million. We here at WBAI are fighting to get from under a deficit, as well as all of the other stations. Where did that money go? Who benefited from the spending of that money? Certainly not the foundation.
I assume you've got records to prove where it went? Or no?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think all the evidence has to be laid on the table, Paul.
Well,
and I think it should be done at one of the lab meetings, so that it can be available to anyone who wants to come and view it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. BAI, you're on the air. Uh-oh, sounds like we got a bad line here.
Hi.
There you are.
My subversive mind works very subversively. And when I came on board early on, just prior to the winter fundraiser, and then Amy started saying that, you know, trouble was so much trouble, the station was in so much trouble, blah, 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 and right away, my mind went one word, Zionist infiltration. And why would anyone want to destroy, or who would be the ones who would want to destroy WBAI? Who would want them off the air because of what they release to the public? That's why I was thinking the way I was thinking, because I have a subversive mind, only in the sense that it's a very suspicious mind, I should say.
Well, having a suspicious mind is a good thing, but you can't just jump to a predetermined conclusion without having any evidence.
I know. Yeah. It's just my opinion,
mm-hmm.
And I just see Zionists. I see Zionists all over the place.
Oh, you see a Zionist under every bed and in every closet.
In my sleep. You know, I see the White House with a big Z. I see the Zoo York Times. I see we live in the Zoo United States of America.
Mm.
Everything has a Zionist attachment to it because of the massive amounts of studying that I have done. And I'm sure Ralph Schoenman and Myra Joan would agree with a lot of things that I say about the Zionists, because
well,
they know a great deal about Zionism and what, you know, the early stages of it and how it came about and all that.
Well, there's no factual information to indicate that that's what was taking place here at BAI.
Oh, well, but I know, but who are these people that spent the $6 million? What was their motive in spending all that money? Why would they want to, if they're putting in a position of power to run the station, why would they run it to the ground? Good question.
People took trips.
I know they took a lot of trips.
They stayed in very expensive hotels, some of them costing $500 a night.
And the attorneys that they hired?
Many attorneys. I would say close to 50% of the money that was owed to attorneys, to attorney, high power
attorneys.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. May I just say two other things? One thing is that on Channel 13, about 2 years ago, maybe three, they did a documentary, and I recall early this year somewhere, I think it was Bush saying that this country has never been bombed before. And I say, ha, 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 Did he forget about the bombing in Louisiana where they wiped out the whole town, black people? You know?
Well,
Channel 13 did this expose, this documentary,
where
they practically wiped out every single black in this town in Louisiana.
Well, there's also MOVE.
Huh?
There's also MOVE in Philadelphia.
There's also a MOVE?
The MOVE organization in Philadelphia.
A MOVE, M-O-V-E?
The MOVE, an organization in Philadelphia called MOVE that was founded by a person named John Africa. In fact, Mumia Abu-Jamal often talks about John Africa. And a bomb was dropped on their headquarters also, on their home.
Yeah, in fact, I used to be a court reporter many years ago, some 30 years ago, and I remember sitting in a case that had the venue changed from Chicago to Brooklyn Supreme Court. And the there's certain laws about disclosure, and you have to present evidence before it can be admitted into evidence. And the case involved the Dubois boys who were in their club, and they were brutally, brutally beaten by the Chicago police. And so they knew they weren't going to get a fair trial in Chicago, so they changed the venue to Brooklyn. And during the trial, the defense attorney wanted to introduce some evidence to the effect, introduce some evidence. And it was an objection, and they went to the bar, and then the judge said, let's go into chambers, and blah, blah, the jury was dismissed. And while, you know, the court reporter has to go in because she has to take everything down, even that's outspoken outside of the jury room, and I was witness to the a video or a news, a reel, a camera, whatever you call it. I get nervous when I'm on the radio.
Me too.
I don't think that you're calm as a cucumber. So what happened was, what I was witnessing was that this club had glass windows. It was a storefront, and it had glass windows, glass door, and there was this van a little distance away observing the store because they wanted to keep an eye on the activities of the Dubois boys. All of a sudden, the Chicago police come, show up. They smash the windows, break in, start brutalizing the men inside, pulling them outside, beating them, everything. Bottom line, it wasn't allowed to be introduced into evidence because, as the law states, you have to have disclosure on the EBT, examination before trial. So there can't be any surprises, so that the prosecuting attorney can, you know, defend itself or vice versa. So I said, my God, it took me 4.5 years to go to night school to become a court reporter, and I'm just totally devastated with what I was experiencing in other cases that I had to sit in. And I said, this is it. I don't care. I'm not going to be a court reporter. I just can't. I can't take it. I'm too emotional. I'm too passionate. I can't take this law. It's not right. Here you have evidence, black and white, and it can't be introduced into evidence. So I walked off. I never went back to becoming, you know, being a court reporter anymore.
Well, good for you.
I just,
because if you had stayed there, you would have gotten sick.
Oh, I would have. There were times I was crying, and if the jury saw me, they would have been, the case would have been dismissed. You know, if any of the attorneys saw me, you know, I had to turn my back to everybody and just like face the wall because I was so emotional, and so I just quit it all.
Good.
And I just devoted my rest of my life
to listening to the AI.
Huh?
To listen.
Well,
to
yeah, but I do a tremendous amount of research and find out just about everything. Is it possible? Do I have like 2 minutes to read a song sung by Donovan way back in the early 60s?
Okay,
called The Universal Soldier?
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that. Okay.
Can I read it?
Yes, and then we'll go to the next call.
Okay. He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill and he knows he always will. Killing for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, and he's fighting for France, and he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan. And he thinks it will put an end to a war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, and he's fighting for the Reds. He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who is to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how could Hitler have condemned him at Laval? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. That means Ariel Strong, too. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon for the war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's a universal soldier, and he's really to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me and brothers. Can't you see? This is not the way to put an end to war. And that's it, and I thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, Spike Lee made a movie about that bombing in the Birmingham church. It was called Four Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yes.
You said three girls was named were killed in that bombing a few minutes ago. On June the 6th,
okay, then
about
I,
five, excuse me?
Okay, I made a mistake. It was four. I think it was Addie Mae Collins. I knew the four names at one point.
Now, on June the 6th, about five.